My name is Yogi Acharya, and I'm joined in the studio with Zoe De La Pena. We have a great show lined up for you today with an interview with Nandita Sharma on the Bill C-49, which we're going to talk about a little more as we get into the show. We're broadcasting live out of Ryerson University on CKLN 88.1 FM. But first, we're going to go to the headlines.
Heavy rains are battering Haiti in what could be the worst storm to hit the island since the January earthquake. Forecasters say Tropical Storm Thomas has gained hurricane strength and will pass through western Haiti sometime today. There are fears the rains could trigger massive flooding, potentially spreading a cholera outbreak that has already killed more than 440 people. The Haitian government has ordered the voluntary evacuation of camps for earthquake survivors in low-lying areas, but many have nowhere to go. On Thursday, Bill Reed of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said the storm could maintain hurricane strength before making landfall. He added further, quote, "The next 36 hours are the primary threat to the area there. We're forecasting winds to tropical storm force, possibly reaching hurricane force if Thomas intensifies as it goes through there. But the predominant threat is the heavy rain," end quote.
As President Barack Obama adjusts to the Democrats' reduced legislative standing, new details have emerged in the privately funded effort to elect Republican candidates. NBC News reports that bulk of funding for the Karl Rove-founded group's Crossroads GPS, quote, came from a small circle of extremely wealthy Wall Street hedge fund and private equity moguls, end quote. Rove helped coordinate Crossroads spending on attacks against vulnerable Democrats along with other right-wing groups. Both Crossroads and sister group American Crossroads spent $38 million on attack ads and mailing targeting Democratic candidates. According to NBC, Republican candidates won 9 out of 12 Senate races and 14 out of 22 House races where Rove's groups spent money.
Former President George W. Bush has admitted he personally approved the waterboarding of the self-proclaimed 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Writing in his new memoir, Decision Points, Bush says the CIA sought his permission to waterboard Mohammed to elicit information about potential terrorist plots. Bush says he answered, quote, "damn right," end quote. The Obama administration has declared waterboarding a form of torture and banned its use since taking office.
The founder of the online whistleblower organization WikiLeaks says he's considering applying for political asylum in Switzerland in the wake of the U.S.-led crackdown on his organization. Julian Assange says Switzerland, as well as Cuba and Iceland, are the only countries with whistleblower protection laws that could allow WikiLeaks to operate safely. Assange also renewed calls for the United States to investigate human rights abuses in Iraq and Afghanistan, detailed in the hundreds of thousands of documents his group has released. He further stated, quote, "The result of this and some of our other publishing activities has led not to the United States conducting a full and frank investigation into the abuses revealed, as other countries are doing, but rather an aggressive investigation into this organization and public threats towards this organization and a demand for a destruction of that material," end quote.
Gulf Coast residents, fishermen, seafood distributors, and scientists believe that living on the coast and eating seafood from the Gulf has become hazardous to their health. In response to the oil disaster last summer that released at least 4.9 million barrels of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, BP admitted to using at least 1.9 million gallons of widely banned toxic Corexit dispersants, which have been banned in 19 countries, to sink the oil. The dispersants contain chemicals that many scientists and toxicologists have warned are dangerous to humans, marine life, and wildlife. Earlier this year, on May 20, the EPA told BP it had 24 hours to find a less toxic alternative, but the EPA's request was ignored. Then, on May 25, BP was given a directive by the EPA to scale back their spraying of the Gulf of Mexico with dispersants. The Coast Guard overlooked the EPA's directive and provided BP with 74 exemptions in 48 days to use the dispersants. A March 1987 report titled Organic Solvent Neurotoxicity by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, states, quote, "The acute neurotoxic effects of organic solvents exposure in workers and laboratory animals are narcosynesthesia, central nervous system depression, respiratory arrest, unconsciousness, and death." Several chemicals and chemical compounds listed in the NIOSH report, such as styrene, toluene, and xylene are now present in the Gulf of Mexico as a result of BP's dispersants mixing with BP's crude oil.
Anti-nuclear activists have reported stopping a train carrying waste that environmentalists describe as, quote, the most radioactive in history, from France to Germany. The train, which has 123 tons of nuclear waste on board, was stopped in the French city of Sion as it headed for Gorleben in Germany on Friday, police cited by AFP News agency said. Thousands of protesters are expected to take hold demonstrations across Germany on Saturday when the train is due to arrive. The waste is returning to the country where it was used to generate electricity after being treated at a plant in France by Areva, a nuclear firm. Greenpeace has criticized the transportation of the waste, saying that it had not been allowed to take radioactive measurements to verify claims that it is not dangerous for the environment. Quote, we think it's unfortunate that they didn't do what they said they would do. That is to stop here for a while and allow us to take measurements. End quote. Kumi Nadu, Greenpeace's international director, told Reuters news agency. Quote, the lack of transparency means that there are a lot of things hidden from the general public, and this gives us more cause for doubts and concerns. End quote.
Meanwhile, in Canada, legislation that would revoke public funding from Canadian mining companies that abuse human rights and the environment in their overseas operations were narrowly defeated in its third reading, with 13 Liberals, including Michael Ignatieff, 4 Bloc and 4 NDP parliamentarians skipping the vote. Bill C-300, a Liberal private member's bill, built unprecedented support among social justice advocates and mining watchdog groups around the world.
Back in Toronto, Conservative mayoral candidate Rob Ford has been elected as Toronto's new mayor. However, according to a report filed by Tim Grooves of the Toronto Media Co-op, while Rob Ford won the mayoral election with 47.12% of the vote, only 15% of the city's population actually voted for him. Some of those who did not vote chose not to, but others were not eligible to vote and didn't have sufficient ID. Quote, Toronto is home to a diverse range of about 2.6 million people, reads a press release sent out on the election day. However, only roughly 813,000 people voted in the election. That's 32% of the population. Of those, only 383,000 people voted for Ford. Many Torontonians are not allowed to vote because they're not Canadian citizens or are below 18 years of age. There is no way to determine what percentage of eligible voters actually turned out at the polls.
Shortly after the election of Rob Ford, who has openly declared his plans to cut the, quote, gravy train, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty issued the following statement. 8 years of the progressive mayor, David Miller, has meant little for the poorest people in Toronto. The former city council and David Miller are responsible for 312 shelter beds for the homeless being cut, with only 60 ever replaced. Promises of new shelters have been empty rhetoric, with people waiting years for any new spaces to open up. Gentrification has continued at high speed. Toronto Community Housing is looking to sell off properties, while the waiting list for housing is almost 10 years long. Transit fares have gone up, and accessibility was one of the first things to be cut from the budget. Welfare rates are shamefully inadequate, while city administrators willfully deny people access to vital benefits such as the special diet allowance. Poverty in Toronto has continued to grow under a so-called progressive mayor. The city of Toronto is increasingly divided between the rich and the poor. Now Toronto has elected Rob Ford as its new mayor. OCAP knows Ford and his priorities all too well. He has consistently supported cuts to welfare ODSP, including the recent cut to the special diet allowance, spoken out against social programs, community housing, affordable transit, the homeless and immigrants. Ford's rhetoric in this campaign has been to, quote, end the gravy train at End Hall, end quote, and to, quote, respect the taxpayer, end quote. What Ford really means is all too familiar, cutting social services, housing, and transit while giving tax breaks to the wealthy. We will see cuts to services that poor people need on top of an already existing lack of funding to services thanks to Miller. If anything, the, quote, gravy train for the rich will be all that Ford cares about. Quote, Rob Ford's agenda is the same as Mike Harris's was in the 1990s, attacking poor people to benefit the wealthy, end quote, says OCAP organizer John Clark. Quote, during the Harris period, Ontario saw unprecedented civil dissent and disruption. We are putting Ford on notice that he ought to accept the same, end quote. OCAP will be working with communities across Toronto to fight Ford's agenda and defend the rights of poor people.
On a similar note, No One Is Illegal Toronto has issued an alert that Stephen Harper and Jason Kenney have proposed a new immigration act called Bill C-49, which would allow the Minister of Public Safety to declare any group of migrants coming into Canada as a, quote, smuggling incident, end quote. There is no definition of what a, quote, smuggler in this act is. For the asylum seekers who are declared part of this incident, which could be anyone making a refugee claim in groups of two or more, the Conservative government wants to jail them for a minimum of 1 year, deny them access to health services, deny monthly detention reviews, which allowing migrants in jail a chance to gain freedom only once every 6 months. They will be allowed to revoke people's refugee status after it has been granted by the refugee termination process, ban applications for permanent residency for 5 years after gaining refugee status, bar people from reuniting with their families for 5 years after gaining refugee status, stop people from leaving Canada for 5 years after they gain the refugee status, deny the right of appeal to rejected refugee claims, and they've put in an ex-CC's director and the man responsible for the police brutality we also witnessed here during the G20 in June as a special advisor on human migration. And we're going to talk a lot more about this specific issues in the interview that's going to follow with Nandita Sharma, who is a professor, researcher, and activist at the University of Hawaii. But before we go to that, we're going to go to a quick music break. We're going to go to a track by Unknown Misery called Life Vest.
They tell me to be optimistic, yeah. And this time I might give it a shot.
See that to France, man.
I'm trying to stay positive through the struggle.
I control the energies that surround me. The worst in it. Oh, I can look at everything so different. Anyway, on the production, misery on the beat. The people in the seats be ready. And I can look at things for the worst in it. And I can look at everything so different. Someone told me that happiness is a choice, so I chose to be happy. Balance my anger with my voice. Spit truth, still fire. The boots still tied up, still on the front line. Ready for all of it, everything crumbles. But do you fall with it? Falling like leaves. Changes like seasons calling me. I used to dial tone the signal, clutch what I know. Dust off the road so I know where to go. This time I follow signs without doubting them. The wires were tangled and I rerouted them. Instead of bunning out the industry for attempting to murder my love, I just grip this mic tight with this murder glove.
Okay, so that was Unknown Misery with his new track, Life West. And as promised, we're going to go to an interview with Nandita Sharma, who is a professor, researcher, and activist at the University of Hawaii on the Bill C-49, which we mentioned just a few minutes ago.